Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Self-published authors have this wonderful opportunity where they can publish books without having to go to a publisher, and it's really reduced a lot of the friction associated with going from book idea to published book. The only difficulty self-published authors face, though, is that sometimes they don't have that professional edge with their books. And I can tell you, like, the first few books that I published, they definitely did not have that professional look, but hitting that publish button did help me get better. So when I heard about Readsy, which gives that professional edge to self-published authors, this is something that is going to change the game for self-publishing and self-published authors who just want to give their books that professional edge. So we're going to explore how to give that edge to self-published authors in this episode. Today's guest is a founder and the chief marketing officer of Readsy, a company that is changing the way books are published by giving authors and publishers access to talented professionals, powerful tools, and free educational content. Today's guest for episode 161 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Ricardo Fayette. Ricardo, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
No, I'm honored, Mark. Thanks for inviting me.
Ricardo, I'm really looking forward to diving into this show. And before we get into the nitty gritty, I'm wondering if you could give us some background. So how exactly did Readsy come about?
Well, like a lot of businesses, I think it came about from kind of a discussion with a few friends. We come at it from a reader's perspective, I have to say. So we weren't authors at the time. We're not authors yet. I'm looking to become an author soon. But really, we were very early adopters of the digital formats of the Kindle. We live in Europe. So one of us actually imported his Kindle from over the pond because they weren't available here. And it was such a change for us to be able to carry as many books as we wanted on this small device, and that we immediately started thinking, what does it mean for the other side, for the authors, for the publishers, for the whole publishing industry? So we started learning about self-publishing and this whole trend that was going around there. And the immediate question was, it's great that you can publish your book on your own, but there's a lot more to publishing a book, as you said in the intro, than just writing it. Like, who's editing the book? Who's designing it? Who's doing the marketing? Who's helping the author kind of refine, publish, and then market the book? And so we thought we should build something to help authors basically self-publish better.
And I do see that, like, self-publishing, it is a lot easier, but they're not necessarily as professional in all cases as a published book. Now, that's not to say self-publishing is bad. It gives you a lot of great opportunities. And there are a lot of self-published authors who do publish very high-end and professional books. But I'm wondering what advice you have for self-published authors who want to make their books look more professional. What are some ways they can do that?
I mean, the number one way is to try to replicate the traditional publishing process, because it's a process that's been honed over the years. And there's a reason why several types of editors are employed or are hired by traditional publishing companies to produce these books. There's a reason why they also hire cover designers and interior designers and all these things. So I'd say if you're looking to self-publish a book, first, you need to do a lot of learning. You need to understand how other successful self-published authors have gone about the process, and especially who they've hired to make that happen. And every successful independent author I know spends a lot of time educating other authors and telling them about the necessity of hiring editors and of hiring a cover designer. And these are the two main things. These are the two things we started with at Reedsy, and they're still the two most important things about publishing a book, aside from writing it. You need, I'd say, at least two rounds of edits, especially if it's your first book. You need a first a developmental editor who's going to look at the big picture. If it's nonfiction, the structure of your book, your overall message, the narrative throughout, even if it's nonfiction, you need a narrative. The how you structure with parts and chapters. So really the big picture, and you need a pro developmental editor with experience in your genre for that. If we're talking fiction, then they're going to look at the plot, at the characters, at the dialogue, at the pacing, your voice, narrators, etc. And then you need a second round of editing, I'd say, which focuses more on the mechanicals of the language and is more similar to what we usually all think what editing is about. So grammar, punctuation, making sure there are no typos, no spelling errors, and things like that. So if you want the technical terms, first part is mental editing and just copy editing. And if you want to really, really be professional, then you hire a last pair of eyes called a proofreader to just check that there are no mistakes left, and especially that no mistakes have been introduced in the two previous rounds of edits.
So some people may be hearing this right now, and all this advice you gave is obviously going to make the book better. Some people may be a little confused about where to find all these people. And I know that Reedsy, like, you guys have a bunch of people there who help with a variety of roles. Is that the primary way that Reedsy fits in to help to give self-published authors that professional edge?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the one reason we created Reedsy, is when we asked ourselves that question, where are authors going to find these editors that they would otherwise work with through a traditional publishing company? We started learning that actually at the same time there was a trend in self-publishing, more and more authors were self-publishing. There was a very similar trend within editors and designers and all the people who used to work in-house at the traditional publishing companies. Well, most of these people are actually going freelance, and most of these people are now freelance. So they work both for traditional publishing companies, but they're also available to work for independent authors. So Reedsy is a marketplace now where independent authors can come in and hire very high-end top publishing professionals, so editors, designers, publishers, publicists, marketers, ghostwriters. And the particularity of Reedsy is that all the people we have on our marketplace, all the professionals we have there, they all come from traditional publishing. So they all kind of have a professional background, and you can really trust them.
And another thing I want to point out is that some self-publishers, in many cases, like self-publishers for like a lot of self-published authors, they make less than $1,000 per year. And some people who are just getting started out may not have as much money to invest in an editor, a copy editor, a ghostwriter. So some of these people may just go from start to finish, just like all by themselves with the book. And I wonder if you could share some recommendations for the individual who just wants to get a minimal viable product out there just to test the concept and be able to still publish a quality book, even though they are the only one handling all the details.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a question of still, the question is, if you're not going to hire a developmental editor or a copy editor or a cover designer, the question becomes, how can I kind of replicate what they do as close as possible to what they do? And what you need in order to do that is to basically learn about it, and sometimes get other people to help. So I'll give a few examples. If the most expensive part generally of self-publishing a book professionally is hiring a developmental editor. And that's usually the person who's going to help you the most on the book, but obviously, yeah, they're the most expensive part. Like if you want to publish a 60,000 word nonfiction book, then hiring a developmental editor might cost you $1,000 or $2,000. So if you don't have that money available, you just want to publish an MVP or an MVB in this case, what you can do is first go through your manuscript several times after you've written the first draft, and learn about the art of manuscript revision. So we've got a bunch of courses on Reedsy in the Reedsy Learning section that are all free courses. And we've got two or three that focus on revising a manuscript. So going from first draft to second draft, third draft, et cetera, and kind of doing the editing yourself. And then what you really want to do is find beta readers, especially if you're writing nonfiction. Beta readers can also be kind of influencers. So I've had this example, for example, of an author who was writing a really cool techno thriller about a startup founder that got into money laundering. It's Elliot Pepper's Uncommon Stock series, for those that are interested. And I think he reached out to Brad Feld, and he got Brad Feld to be a beta reader of his novel. And obviously, Brad Feld gave him a lot of helpful advice on the manuscript, which helped Elliot refine his novel. And also when Elliot launched his book, he got like tweets and endorsements from Brad Feld, which the marketing side of things goes a long way. So definitely hire beta readers. They're kind of one way to replace an editor. It's not going to be as professional, but if you just want to publish an MVP, then they're a good way. And for cover design, I'd really, if you have $500, like spend them on cover design, because unless you're a designer yourself, the cover is so important to selling a book. I see so many authors throwing marketing and ads and throwing money at a book that doesn't have the right cover, and it's just money that you're going to lose afterwards. And think about it this way. Any marketing, any interaction, if you send your book out there and doesn't have the right cover, it's just money you're going to lose. So I'd say really invest in a professional cover. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, there are ways to get around. Like, you could write your own book instead of having a ghostwriter. You could edit it. You could publish. You could even do the marketing. But I would not go around the cover. Like, that's something that you should invest in. Even if it's like Fiverr, just $5 or something a little more expensive, but it is worth it to, the investment for the cover is worth it regardless of where you are as a self-published author. So that is one thing that you should definitely be investing in regardless of what's happening and regardless of your expectations for the book. Like basically if it's your first one, still invest in the cover. But some self-published authors, they want to publish more books. So some of them want to go on to their second book, their third book, maybe release 10 or even more than that. And the way that they're going to be able to do that is they publish their first book and they generate revenue. And once they make revenue from their first book, then they can like hire editors and get a little more details and give their books that professional edge. So how can self-published authors generate more revenue from their new books and their existing books, so they're able to generate more revenue that can give them that professional edge for future books?
Yeah, that's really a marketing question. I think first you need to publish a lot if you want to make money off writing. Like, you need to probably be putting out at least one book a year, almost whatever genre you write in. In certain genres, like romance, you probably need to be putting out one book every 2-3 months. And naturally, you're going to learn from your mistakes. So that's going to happen naturally. Now, in terms of tips I can give you, they're mostly think about Amazon optimization. Think first, obviously, about where your readers are going to buy your books. For 99% of you guys, it's going to be Amazon. So since readers are going to buy your books on Amazon, what you want to do is make sure that your books are easy to find on Amazon by the right people. So instead of hiring a book marketer or starting to throw ads, what you really need to get right as a first thing, and again, you'll learn more about it as you publish some books, but what you need to get right is the Amazon metadata. So metadata is everything that It's kind of attached to your book page on Amazon. So the title, author name, cover, all that is metadata. But more importantly, there are two very important things you need to choose: the categories and the keywords attached to your book on Amazon. And these are going to be the main drivers for discoverability. So the categories is the are the two categories Amazon lets you place your book in. So typical mistake that a thriller author, first time thriller author, is going to do is list their book under thriller and crime mystery, which are huge categories. So in order to be visible in these categories, in order to be on the first page, where this is basically search engine optimization, in order to be on the first page, you need to be selling a lot of copies. If it's your first book, if you're an unknown author, that's not going to happen. You're not going to beat Lee Childs. Instead, what you can do is think, okay, what's my book really about? Maybe it's an espionage thriller, in which case Amazon has a subcategory of thriller called espionage. So you're going to place your book in there. It's still a competitive category, but you have a lot more chances of getting your book visible in there. So play with categories. You can do a lot of category research and keyword research. Keywords are another part of discoverability and SEO on Amazon. And basically, Google how to pick Amazon categories, how to pick Amazon keywords. Ritzy articles are going to show up. Also, Kindlepreneur articles are going to show up. Dave Chesson from Kindlepreneur has got a bunch of awesome resources on that. There's the KDP Rocket software as well. That is paid software, but that's really good for doing research around Amazon categories and keywords. And to me, getting those right is the second most important thing after the cover. Because again, let's say you spend $100 on Facebook ads. If you don't have a good cover, you're going to waste your money. If you have a good cover, but you have the wrong categories and keywords, you're going to get sales, but those sales are not going to generate visibility on Amazon. And what you want to do is for all your marketing activities to first generate sales, but also for those sales to get your books higher in the ranks and hit visibility spots on Amazon. And then you get Amazon to do the marketing for you. So that'd be my main tip, basically.
Thank you for sharing those great insights. And you do have to do some work on yourself, but then eventually Amazon does do that marketing for you, which is why it's such an attractive platform for self-published authors. But even though you hear about Amazon being a really successful brand, helping a lot of self-published authors make 6-7 figures, or in some rare cases, even more than that, there are, again, that big majority of people who make less than $1,000 per year from their self-published books. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most self-published authors back from achieving a full-time income from their efforts?
It's the main thing. I think the main thing is not getting the product market fit right, and then getting too desperate about marketing. So what I mean by that is, well, all the things I said before, there are a lot of authors who first write a book, and then often they come to Ritzy and they say, okay, so I've got this book. So now can you recommend a marketer to like get it visible to as many people as possible? So I ask them, okay, I can recommend a marketer, but like, who's your target market? What's your genre? And they say, oh, it's like anyone interested in thrillers, or anyone interested in literature sometimes. And that shows that these people have written a book with no target market in mind. And that can be fine in some very rare cases. But nowadays, Amazon is so crowded that you kind of have to write to market. And I hate having to say that, but it's true. Like, there are markets that are thriving right now, cozy mysteries. There are markets that are declining slightly right now, like paranormal romance. You need to learn about those things. If your goal is to generate a full-time income from your writing, if it's nonfiction, it's a different game. If it's nonfiction, I think your books are there to support your business and your other activities. So probably your goal is not to generate a full-time income from your writing. And if it is, then it's the same thing. You need to have identify a gap in the Amazon marketplace and fill that gap with your writing and your books. And I think, yeah, 99% of authors, of self-published authors, probably don't make a living out of the writing. because they're writing books that don't have a market.
And it's really interesting how you do, like, if you look at Amazon, see what's missing, and then fill that gap. And in the nonfiction case, you can use the book to support your business, perhaps promote a training course. And a lot of people, they'll promote a free ebook at the beginning of the book and they'll look inside. So if you find it on Amazon and you don't buy their book, you could still join their email list because they have the free ebook in there at the front. So thank you for sharing those insights with us on basically what's holding people back. And one of the things I feel like holds people back also is that we all face challenges, and some people respond differently than others. And the way we respond to challenges ultimately determines the people who we do end up becoming. So with that in mind, Ricardo, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Wow, I always hate that challenge question. I think a challenge we in our journey at Ritzy is, so quite early on, we had this marketplace where a lot of authors were starting to hire editors, designers, marketers, publicists. And suddenly we also saw a few publishers starting to use a marketplace to basically hire freelance editors for one or two projects and designers as well. Because what you need to know, obviously, is that all the big traditional publishers out there, they don't have copy editors and proofreaders in-house anymore. They outsource that. A lot of them also outsource cover design. All of them outsource typesetting. So when we got these first few publishers, we thought, okay, cool, there's an amazing opportunity for us here. Because we're not, our market is not just independent authors, it's also publishers. So we started building a custom product for publishers. And we had this challenge where we didn't know how much resources to invest in that product, knowing that it had to be good enough for publishers to start using. But at the same time, we didn't want to put too much time into developing something for which we only had like two or three customers at that time. So we've been to a lot of book fairs. And we've built a mailing list or a pipeline of maybe 1,000 publishers. And we pitched them this idea of this product. And we got a lot of them interested. And 2 years after, we don't work with that many, with as many publishers, let's say, as we hoped. And we had discussions with all of the big five, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, Hachette, Penguin Random House. And in the end, and we did a trial with one of them, and in the end, we're working with none of them. And what we learned is that our product wasn't compliant with their kind of processes, which were very, I'm not going to get into how publishers work nowadays. But basically, we needed to make too many changes to our product and to build almost a whole different product, especially on the payment side and contracting side of things. And we figured out that even though it seemed like almost logical and seemed like almost the same market as indie authors, it was actually completely different. And if you want to apply that to authors, I think a lot of authors think they can sell their books to a similar category. So thriller author who's not like doing great, there's might start thinking, okay, I might get a BookBub for crime or something like that. I'm going to take advantage of that, or like run BookBub ads targeting crime authors. And what's going to happen is if you get a lot of sales from crime authors, your also boats are going to be populated by crime books. And then those other books are going to have like your book as also boat. And similarly to what happened to us with publishers, you're going to have the wrong people reading your book and leaving bad reviews on it. So all that long story to say, stick to what's working for you. If it's a niche, stick to that niche. And don't try to open up to like similar segments because there can be like very huge differences in perception that you don't see firsthand.
And that's especially important for like, there are a lot of new trends that tend to come on. And in some cases, it's good to just like dip your toe in them to see like if this is something that you want to do. But in business, like in the beginning, it can be a little slow. So don't necessarily give up on your expertise and try and match into like some area that could be like trending or something like that. So you just want to make sure you're sticking to your roots and sticking to the area that you have expertise in, you have a passion for that area. And we've been talking a lot about self-published books. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm a very big fan of David Goggin, David Goggin's books. So he's released his third edition of Let's Get Digital, which I think is a must read for anyone looking to self-publish. He used to work at Google, so he's got a marketing background, and he really breaks down Amazon SEO in a very, very intuitive way. And he's done a lot of tests as well, and he's in touch with a lot of, well, high-selling authors. So he's probably got the best advice on that side of things. Then there's a great book called On Facebook Ads for Authors, and I don't remember the name of the author anymore. I'm going to try to remember the name of the author. And there's similarly a very good book on Amazon Ads for Authors as well. And I forgot the name of the author.
It's all right. We'll include those in the show notes. So we'll have the names in the show notes. Those will be at markgaberta.com/E161 for anyone interested. And I'll throw in my book, Content Marketing Secrets, in the show notes as well for anyone who wants to grow their brand, spread their message, and monetize their efforts. That will be markgaberta.com/book, but the show notes again are markgaberta.com/E161. And before we conclude this episode, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think what's like, it seems obvious, but what's our goal? Especially money-wise, is it your goal to make a full-time living out of books or out of another passive income activity, or is it your goal to make as much money as possible or to become a best-selling author? And a lot of people go into self-publishing thinking, oh, I'll just put a book out there, and then they get really into it. So it's their goals change. But I think you need to set goals, and then once you hit them, you can redefine another goal and then start climbing steps like that. But if you start with no goal in mind or a very vague one, like I want to make money, try to define exactly how much money you want to make and kind of build a game plan out of that. How many copies am I going to sell? At which price? How many books am I going to need to publish? And things like that.
Ricardo, thank you for sharing with us that great question and all of your great insights throughout this episode. And if you guys want to learn more about Ricardo, just head over to Readsy. They have a lot of tools there and some of the top talents for helping your self-published book get a professional edge. Like, they don't just take any ghostwriter editor. Like, they have a very strict process for figuring out which ones you're going to take. And they deny a lot more people than they actually accept. So go to Readsy if you guys want to get people who are going to help you make your book professional, give that edge. And you guys can also learn on Readsy as well. So if you guys aren't, you don't want to hire an editor or do anything like that just yet, they have a lot of learning material you can use to sharpen your skills as you prepare to make that leap to becoming a self-published author or promoting the books that you already have in place. Ricardo, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to share your insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Mark.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberta.com/retweets.